Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Another day where we had, we had a brief, serious rain for a little bit. May not be done for the day. That's the way it has been. Hope everybody doing well. We're doing great on location today. We're back at Franklin Tire and Auto here on University, right across from CC's Pizza. They've been here for better than four decades, been taking care of folks for better than 50 years at Franklin Tire. Anything you need seen to about your vehicle from, bulbs, wiper blades, just about from minor to your standard, oil changes and tires and rotations to major engine repairs and body work, they can do it all here at Franklin Tire. They've been taking care, like I said, of folks for better than 50 years, been taking care of my family's vehicles for three decades plus here at Franklin Tire. Great folks. And one of the things that's great is, if you bring your car in, get them to check. I've also, before I've bought vehicles, I've brought them by and had them, tell me what they find. But they're always really good about, letting you know if anything needs to be done, what needs to be done, and the order. If it needs to be done, like, right now, or if it's something that it can wait for a while. So you can trust them. They're great folks here at Franklin Tire. 334-321-1390 is the number for you to join us if you can't stop by.
That's not the number for Franklin Tire.
No. I was about to get to that. Their number is 334-821-4572.
Can I say,
I have called that number a few times, and again, you need to put it in your phone. You need to put it in your phone's memory. 334-821-4572. That's the number to get to Frank.
The way you used to have to learn FOI, right, when you moved to
That's
Auburn.
Right.
The way they used to have to make you learn that phone number.
4244?
Yeah, 4244. You also you got to have Franklin's number in your phone when you move to Auburn, or if someone you care about is going to move to Auburn and they're going to operate a vehicle, you're going to want this number, not just for the outstanding service that you get when your car gets here, but also they operate a 24/7 wrecker. They also operate a wrecking service that can come get your car in the event that it is inoperable.
24/7, and another thing you can do is they've got a drop box in case you want to have your car here first thing in the morning. You can leave the car, lock it. They've got a sheet where you can fill out the information that they'll need to know and attach your keys to that, put it in the drop box. So, as convenient as can be, again, here at Franklin Tire. The 334-321-1390, that's the Kia of Auburn hotline to get you through to us here on The Drive in case you can't stop by. You could beep. Of course, people may think that there's something going on in the traffic if you do that as you drive by. But, yeah, we'd love to see you here if you can. We'll understand if you can't. But, of course, the next time you need to see have your car seen about, this is where you need to come here to Franklin Tire. Bill and Dan here at Franklin Tire mentioned the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Kia is the sponsor of hour number one of The Drive, Kia of Auburn on South College, and Kia of Auburn. com.
You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts. Use your favorite podcasting platform or go to ESPNAU.com. If you're going to use the podcasting platform, leave a review. Rate, review, subscribe. It helps out, I'm told. So go ahead and check out what we've got going on there on the podcast. That's presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. One more thing, Bill, about Franklin, because it's literally right in front of us. hurricane season upon us. What are we at, the first day of summer? Is that?
It is. Today is the first day of summer.
So I would say with the wiper blade display prominently in front of us, that's something else you want to make sure is in full operating order going into this summer. If you're going to do some driving down to the beach, or if you're
and you also want to make sure your tires are in good shape, and they've got the great selection of Firestone, Bridgestone, Continental. I mean, they've got great selection, and they'll make sure you have the right tire for your vehicle.
It will keep you roadworthy, right?
That is right.
In an age where we see some vehicles, right, and we wonder, is that, you know, should that thing be on the road?
Thank goodness my brakes worked as well as they did just a little while ago when somebody decided to take a little slow left turn on a green light right in front of me.
Right.
So that was exciting.
Sometimes it's like, you know,
I didn't need to bring something back to Franklin to the body shop just yet.
Did you need to load that much into the vehicle? Was two trips not an option?
Golly,
or was
I don't know.
A second
I don't know.
Vehicle?
No, I think it was just someone who didn't even realize. Just, you know, just used to turning left and just slowly started turning left. I had a kind word for him as he turned. I let my window down.
I'm sure you gave him a
nice parting.
You promoted the drive, told him to listen to the show.
I said something about driving. I sure did. All right. So we're here to talk anything you would like sports-wise. The College World Series continuing today, and Florida has advanced to the championship series with a 3-2 win over TCU. The Gators, man, they have had just great pitching. It has been tough to score a lot of runs. Here in Omaha, I believe 5 is the most runs. Is that right? 5 or 6 is the most runs that have been scored.
What did Wake have against LSU the first time?
6-4 maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think 6 is the most runs that have scored. But Florida advances, and now Wake Forest will try to do the same. LSU trying to stay alive tonight. 6 o'clock game, where LSU would need to win and then beat Wake Forest again tomorrow to advance to the championship series against Florida. Of course, Wake Forest just needs one win over LSU. So that's what's going on the field today in college baseball.
You know, a big news story over the last couple of days that I don't think we've mentioned whatsoever is Bob Huggins. Right? I mean, Bob Huggins retiring, resigning, under pressure.
Yeah, it's one of those where I think he had to.
Didn't seem like he had but West Virginia is a pretty prominent job in college basketball.
Oh, it is.
To be
and,
open.
And that's his alma mater.
To be open.
At this time of year?
With July 4th, 2 weeks away. I mean, I imagine just because of the timing, they're going to have to go internal now. Like, can you, I mean,
I don't know.
Could you poach a mid-major? I mean, I guess they could. What kind of roster can you build this year? Like, one would think you almost begin the coaching search in February. I would think you use this as a chance to evaluate an internal candidate and you begin a real coaching search, you know, when you know you need to hire someone.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, that if they had someone in mind, they'd go ahead and approach them and see. Not likely that someone would jump, but if, as you said, if it's a mid-major or, you know, a smaller school that's not as prominent a location, you might be able to get somebody. I mean, it's not unheard of. I mean, there have been things that have happened with coaches in the past in the off season. It's not as though the season is starting in a couple of weeks.
And I feel bad for players who committed to play for Bob Huggins at West Virginia this year, thinking they were going to get one thing, and now that season isn't.
I would think they'd have very good they'd have very good success in getting waivers
and
granted if they wished, because this is something that, you know, obviously no one was expecting.
I mean,
it wasn't the coach trying to trick them either.
And that could be an important story for programs that are still looking to add in college basketball, because if that roster were to If that roster were to implode, if they were all to decide, hey, we want waivers, we want to reopen our recruitment, most of the preseason folks had West Virginia borderline top 20, top 25, and most of that was on the back of the transfers that Bob Huggins had been able to bring in. He got Arizona's point guard, Kirk Arisa. There was the Syracuse, Jesse Edwards, the big from Syracuse that a couple people had in their minds. And there were I guess there was also a couple of important players from last year's roster sticking around West Virginia. So, I mean, this is I saw a tweet from an ESPN writer. Players have 30 days to go into the portal after a coaching change, and I believe that doesn't impact their previous transfer status. I believe
no.
In the event of a coaching change,
right.
You're almost treated like a graduate transfer.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Jesse Edwards or Kirk Crissa, because those are the two.
You don't have
five.
To wonder about them being contacted. I can that's one thing I can guarantee.
Well, they got to go in the portal first, right?
Right.
Officially, they're
supposed
to go in the portal.
But their friends can gauge their interest.
Before a school employee can contact them, they need to go in the portal. Could a player or a representative from an NIL group that doesn't work for the university?
Probably. Yeah.
And is it tampering?
A player absolutely could.
I don't know what
someone,
the rule,
you know, anyone that they had played with or that they knew could ask
if
them.
If you as a school do a good job keeping the NIL group an arm's length away, I don't know what the rules are about NIL groups contacting recruits.
I would think that doesn't feel like it should be right, but I don't know that there is a rule that it's not.
I mean, especially if you're talking – well, I guess it wouldn't matter if they're recruits or not as far as, you know, if you could contact – doesn't feel right.
No, absolutely doesn't feel right.
But I do – this Bob Huggins thing, I mean, it has very real implications for his career, and it's a sort of a sad end to a long, successful basketball
career.
Oh, yes,
a very successful career.
And I guess it's a sign of the times. I'm really curious to see what happens with that roster and see if they hire someone who can keep it together, or if it
may be the best way to keep it together would be to keep the job internal.
Yeah, to promote someone from within who can sort of keep things. But is that going to be enough for those? I wonder what those recruits are thinking right now.
I don't know, because for
guys who have, especially, I think Jesse Edwards has 1 year of eligibility remaining. Like, this is his final year of college basketball. I wonder if he's feeling the temptation to reopen his recruitment in the aftermath of Bob Huggins.
I wouldn't blame any of them
for
doing that, because you just don't know. You don't know exactly, you know, who's going to be there with you as far as teammates or coaches.
And Lexington is close.
They desperately need some help, especially inside.
And I mean, I would wonder if maybe one of the names that has been mentioned for the job, both right now and long term, is Andy Kennedy, UAB head coach, the Cincinnati assistant who took over for Bob Huggins when Bob Huggins was let go at Cincinnati. Andy Kennedy stepped in and took that job over. I wonder if a program that was pretty happy with the results they got on the court with Bob Huggins. I mean, do you kick the tires on Andy Kennedy and think maybe you could find something?
Man, and Andy Kennedy has done a really good job at UAB, and he's been – I mean, he was great in the transfer portal last year, bringing him in. That would be a tough, tough loss for UAB, but it'd also be tough for Andy Kennedy not to listen.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those where, I mean, it would be tough. It would be understandably putting UAB in a tough situation, but – is it understandable or reasonable to expect Andy Kennedy to turn down a job in the Big 12? If a Big 12 team says,
right,
with a borderline top 25 roster now, forget about if we're talking about 6 months from now when they make this move. I mean, if West Virginia calls now, I mean, Andy Kennedy's got to think long and hard about what he wants to do, because that's a good job for a guy who, you know, I think he'd love to build UAB into a regional mid-major power that consistently goes into the tournament every year and makes noise.
And that's his alma mater, and that's what would make it a little tougher. I mean, if he weren't, you know, if he weren't that connected with UAB, I'd be much more concerned if I were a Blazer fan.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd still be concerned right now if West Virginia's got its eyes on Andy Kennedy, but the best thing that they have, one of the best things they have going for them, is his roots, and that's where he played ball.
The timing really hurts, though, because you don't want to be looking for a coach right now if you have hopes for this season. I mean, if it were all about – if you were in punt this season mode, and it's like we'll begin a coaching search.
Oh yeah,
and, you know, we'll find the best coach we can.
They're not ready. They're not looking forward to a complete rebuild.
They think they can win with this. So I saw that Andy Kennedy thing, and I thought, man, it would be tough for Andy Kennedy to leave. It would also be tough for Andy Kennedy to say no thank you to West Virginia when you're the head coach at UAB.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Bill and Dan here at Franklin Tire on the Wednesday edition of The Drive.
In 1958. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
The Reds are ridiculous. Yeah. Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here at Franklin Tire. Again, the place if you need anything, you know, seen about with your vehicle. I mean, from minor to major. You know, something I need to get done again that I haven't done in a while. Hey, Will, you guys still do the headlight thing? Oh, I'm going to have to do it myself. Oh, I've got one that's a little, for some reason, one has become a little yellower than the other one. I mean, I can work on that. Well, that was something but just about anything. Okay, now I've got just about anything they can do. They can tell you how to do it. I can tell. I'm sure of that. But anything you need seen about with your vehicle, stop by and see them here. I mean, if there's a noise that your vehicle's making that you don't think it should, or if there's something that, hey, wasn't there supposed to be a light on? Something that should. I mean, they can diagnose it, and they can take care of it for you here at Franklin Tire. 334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise here on this Wednesday afternoon. You know, normally Jason Caldwell from AUTigers.com, the 24/7 network, is with us on Wednesdays. But Jason getting a very deserved vacation, a little time off. It's about that time. Camps are winding down, just about all done. We're about to have a dead period in college football recruiting, which is going to run from next Monday, June 26th, through July 24th. So this is the opportunity for coaches to get a little time, get a little bit of a break. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be anybody in the offices or anything like that, but it's not going to be just full bore the way things have been going throughout. And as Brian Matthews told us on Monday, hey, don't be surprised if Auburn adds another commitment or two even during the dead period. That doesn't mean players can't make decisions and make announcements. But, yeah, it's sort of a little bit of a slower time as far as football. Now, the player workouts are getting underway, though, and will be continuing. You know, that has nothing to do with the dead period. So there will be coaches around checking on the players, making sure the workouts are going well. You know, you've already probably seen some of the pictures of Peyton Thorne working out, throwing with some of the guys there, and they'll be going through those captain's workouts as they lead up to the start of practice. And we're just 3.5 weeks away from SEC Media Days.
With so many new players on the team and with so many new – I mean, you could have just a two deep and especially a starting lineup that looks very different than it did the last time Auburn took the field.
Half your roster was not around in January.
This is a really important time. So, no, and when the reports I hear from my sources, the reports I hear that you've got a lot of team building going on between – And what I've heard is that some of the veteran holdovers have been very active in trying to bring the newcomers along at different positions. So guys like a Cam Stutz, you know someone who I've heard positive things about, you know, different receivers to various things like that. I know they posted a video of Malcolm Johnson on social media, which you know, having him speak for the team. I think it was Juneteenth related, but it would still mm-hmm. like that. That indicates to me that he's viewed as somebody internally that they're very comfortable with presenting as one of the faces of the team. And he's been around a while, right? I mean, people forget. I think because of the reclassification and then everything that's gone on in his career between coaching changes and injuries.
He's still young, though. He came in a year early, but
and if you got a player like Malcolm Johnson Jr. in the portal, I feel like you'd be excited about his potential, right? Like if someone with Malcolm Johnson Jr.'s resume joined your team in the transfer portal, you'd think, oh, you know what? Maybe this is when the stars align and he can live up to the billing as a recruit. And like if a player just like Malcolm came to your school, you'd be really excited about
it. Oh, no kidding, because he's a sprinter. I mean, the guy has great speed. Sure you would.
So it's a guy that Auburn didn't get him in the portal, but there are players like that, whether it's – I mean, everyone's excited about the new toys. Everyone's excited about the Buzz Lightyears. But there's also there are several players on this team. I'd be interested to know yours, Bill. You know, a couple of players on this team where it's they're holdovers.
Guys that have been around that maybe we haven't seen.
They're not getting the hype of the newcomers or even players who – because I think Malcolm you could lump in as
– Yeah, you
as
could. You definitely could.
As someone who fits in that sort of regard as – I mean, I get you know Damari, I guess, would be another one because – it's not his first year.
He's just a sophomore.
And people are
trying to think of somebody who maybe been around for a couple of years.
I think there's excitement about Damari too.
That's the other thing. Any question about that? He is a solid guy. I mean, he's listed almost the exact same size as Jarquez now.
How about Brandon Frazier? Would that be a guy where
one of the tight ends? I mean, there's so many tight ends. Brandon Frazier has such good hands.
One of the non-Rivaldo tight ends, Brandon Frazier, because of his size and, like you said, his quality hands.
You know,
but
a guy.
Deal and Fromm have both had flashes where they've presented. I mean, they both seem like they profile as starting tight ends. It's just how many snaps does Auburn have to give the tight end this year, and how much of that's going to be Rivaldo versus these players that have played several years with Auburn.
You know, a guy that just sort of comes to mind, he's been around for a few years, was pretty highly touted coming out, and we'll see how he fits this system. But I think a guy that could
– stand on offense?
Make a big,
Okay.
A big step on defense is Zykevious
Walker. Zykevious Walker.
I mean, you know, he's a guy that
you've always liked.
Yeah.
A guy you've always
when
liked.
When I first saw him, I thought, man, this guy's got a chance. Yeah. But he didn't. He sort of seemed to be a tweener, didn't quite fit. Yeah. And then, you know, I think he got a little discouraged and was, you know, entered the transfer portal and decided to come back. That would be a really cool story if he came back and, you know, you go, oh, there's the Zeke Walker everybody thought we were getting back, you know, a few years ago.
I think both Zykevious and Cam Riley are guys where you say,
Cam's played a good bit.
He has, but both of them are like, man, they're big enough, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just real physically impressive looking guys that maybe haven't had the production that would you'd expect from the way they look.
A guy that by the end of the spring you were seeing out there rotating some with the ones came in very highly touted a year ago. We didn't see an awful lot of him. That's Marquise Gilbert.
Yeah.
I mean, because Auburn need, you know, has been looking for more help there at safety, and he was working a good bit with the ones by the end of the spring. But after a season in which he didn't play much at all, I think he was almost, forgotten about.
No, I think that's a good call. We've wondered if Auburn would look at safety as a position where they needed to bring someone in, an experienced player. They're bringing in – how many young safeties are they bringing in? They sign
– like four,
They sign four guys that could be safeties. They retain
– Terrence Love and Sylvester Smith are the two guys that come to mind. They were guys that weren't here this spring. Did we have another one or two?
I could have sworn we did.
From
the spring, you pull up the class. I could have sworn it was more than two.
Yeah, I've got.
But then
I've got my depth.
But then you've also got you've got Zion and Jalen sort of solidly back there.
CJ Johnson.
Yep.
Is another. And then you brought in. Then they went out and got Champ Anthony just a little while ago. But I mean, you had three freshmen.
Well, and. And I guess they're envisioning J.C. Hart more as a corner than a safety.
Yeah, but J.C. is definitely.
But now we're hearing that he's going to be a defensive back when he's
is
first
he?
Out there. I don't know.
I had somebody tell me the other day, that's just Auburn not making the change because he's still being told he's a receiver.
All right.
So I don't know.
I'd love to see it no matter what. Either position. Like, that's a guy easy to root for, local player. On our radar before Auburn was recruiting him seriously. We had callers.
Oh, yeah.
Slack. Shout out to Slack.
When there's somebody around locally that's, you know, that noticeable, that obvious, it's like you pull for him and you go, man, I hope Auburn looks at him and I hope they're interested in him.
When one of the Lee County schools has an SEC caliber player, it's something that people take notice and they mention it. And that's, you know, one of the cool things about J.C. Hart was that when he mentioned it on signing day, that people told him during his high school career, you can't play at this school and make it to the SEC. You need to move up in competition.
It's hard to do.
And make it bigger. It's hard to do, but I think it's really cool that he was able to do it. And hopefully it disproves that belief for other guys who may be in the position where they need to switch to raise their profile.
Yeah, we'll toss that out to our listeners. Is there anybody that you think, this might be your dark horse, somebody that could step up, maybe not one of the names that everybody talks about all the time, and it doesn't matter if it's someone who's been here for a while or if it's a newcomer, who is someone you think is going to have a big impact? We'd love to hear from you as we continue with the Wednesday Drive from Franklin Tire.
Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, and we're coming to you from Franklin Tire and Auto. Rather dark. It's a little threatening.
I'm hearing some rain. Hearing some rain now.
Well, you know, it used to be.
Seeing and hearing.
It used to be we'd come to Franklin, we'd bring the rain. We have nothing to do with it. Rain has been coming plenty for the last week or so. I have unofficially, my rain gauge holds 4 inches, and then it goes a little beyond the 4 inches. I've dumped it 3 times. So, I mean, I'm over 10. Oh, man, here it comes.
Things
it
evolved. Yeah, things evolved quickly.
It has rained around 10 inches at my house in the last week and a half.
I mean, it was not raining.
And the ground just can't hold it.
Very
recently. That's why, you know, we were under a flood watch last night. I'm sure if this continues for a little bit, we'll be under another flood watch here. Ooh. Be very careful if you're out driving because, I mean,
some of these roads have been. Yeah.
The ground around them just can't hold it. So the water is going to, you know, it's going to be standing.
You know where you really got to worry, I think, in Auburn right now is near these construction sites because they got all that dirt and all that gravel. Some of it's spilling into the road during these storms, so be really careful about remember last year there was we had a long period of rain. Maybe it was 2 years ago. Long period of rain. I'm driving on a street shortly thereafter where construction is happening, and I'm not going all that fast. I'm going the speed limit, and a pothole absolutely busts a tire that I had just gotten from the good folks at Franklin Tire. I bring it in, and I'm like, two questions. One, can you save it? No. Two, is it one of the new tires or one of the old tires? And
it's the new tire.
Of course, it's one of the new tires. So be careful out there, not just in the rain, but like you said, Bill, in the aftermath.
The thing is, if your tires here's something. If your tires are not if you don't have really good tread, this can be very dangerous because, I mean, you don't know how deep some of these little puddles and things that you're going into, and you could definitely start spin.
And I get the urge to put something like that off, right, and stretch and say,
maybe this fall. Or
my granddad liked to say it about all kinds of things, but you get what you pay for. And that's tires are a situation where you wait. You try to stretch it. You try to delay. You could be paying more. You could be paying with interest later instead. So I just say, you know, that's something with rain in the forecast and the possibility of hurricanes.
This
we're
is
in the
crazy.
Southeast.
I mean, this the all.
Although
the
that one in the southeast now looks like it's.
I know, but all the rain we've gotten thus far has not been from tropical storms.
No, not
it's
yet.
It's been coming from the northwest. And, I mean, we have gotten much more rain than we normally do at this time of year. So yeah, be
careful. It's got to be the jet stream, right? It's got to be something going on with the jet stream.
I don't know. I don't know. But all I know is I got to buy some more pine straw. I have three times I have moved the pine straw that has floated away, and there's been less each time. So I got to buy some more now. There's no question about it.
I might wait until September or so to replace that pine straw
with
the rate things are going right now.
Maybe it'll ever stop raining here. So anyway, we were talking a little while ago, and we'd love your thoughts on this when we were talking about players that you think could step up. Maybe not the main names that get talked about. I mean,
do you think there's another candidate receiver other than Malcolm Johnson?
I think there are a ton of candidates.
Yeah, I mean
Javarius
has played a lot.
Javarius is the most proven at Auburn.
Coy played a lot last year.
Yes, but he didn't catch a ton of passes. What did he? Did he catch double figure passes? I don't even know that he did.
I thought he was in the 20s.
Not many. Well, maybe. Yeah, I don't know if he got to 20, but yeah, I mean with as many receivers, Auburn has 10 or 11 receivers right now. I mean, some of the young guys, Jay Fair, I thought had a good spring. Amari Kelly.
The three second-year receivers, right? Camden, Jay, and Amari. Camden's the one maybe he's the one that gets
talked about the most. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if any of those guys stepped up there.
Leading receiver for Auburn last year, who led the team in catches? Do you remember off the top of your head?
Was it our guest, or was it
It
wasn't John Samuel, was it?
It was, in fact, Tank Bigsby. With 30.
Wow, 30 is led the team?
30 led the team.
Oh, my goodness.
Javarius with 26.
Okay.
Second. Shanker, our guy from Tiger Takes,
right,
with 20.
So I told you that Coy didn't have 20.
Coy Moore also had 20.
Oh, I thought he had 19.
Tied with Javarius. Shedrick, or no, Jarquez Hunter with 17, fifth on the team.
Wow.
Shedrick Jackson with 16, and Bill, that is everyone on the team who
had
double figure catches last year.
I don't know that there'll be that many more players with double figures, but if there aren't players with more catches than that, I'll be more than a little disappointed.
Three of the six are gone. I think you need more than two players on your team with more than 20 catches.
Unless they catch 90 each.
Two players tied for third with 20 is an issue there, because you'd like to have, I don't know. Remember we used to talk about with Jason how, and again, not to suggest we knew how to call plays or knew, you know, what was going to work to save last year's team, but felt like giving the ball to Tank, Javarius, and Jarquez in big numbers
was the best way to get anything done.
And
what did Auburn do down the stretch when they competed even better? They ran the crap out of the ball.
And Javarius was maybe the primary target. Mm-hmm. When Auburn threw the ball. So, yeah, I think that was, you know, the simplification there. I wonder who stands out as – if it'll be as pronounced, you know, the skill position players
that need the ball. I can't wait to see the transfers in there as well. We saw some of the young guys here, but I can't wait to see Jair Shorter and
Brian Battee. I mean, to me, that's one of
Sean
the –
Sean Hooks, too.
Oh, sure.
But I'm talking the two big –
Oh yeah, the big,
two big.
Well,
new
no, Brian Battee would not fall into the physically larger.
No, but get the ball in his hands.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, that's another one where he was on. I think it's like the all-purpose. You know, he's been listed.
Yeah, I think Phil Steele had him as an All-American.
Yeah, the sort of combination, and what's odd about that is, I mean, I guess as a returner and running back, you know, there's that threat, but like, didn't really think of him much as a receiver. But I guess he's going to be a part of the passing game, and one would think you find ways to deploy something like that.
Well, I think he's probably the closest thing Auburn's had to an Ontario McCaleb, you know,
and that makes sense.
Since then. 334-321-1390. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Dak is up first. Hey, Dak.
Hey, guys. Good to hear your voice today.
Yeah, man, it's good to be inside and staying dry for the moment, I'm telling you. Whew.
Hey,
Is it raining hard where you are?
Yeah, it is. It is. And it looks like I'm fixing to run into some more as well. But hey, you're talking about the receivers, guys. You know that you have not had a very successful season when your running back and tight end is your leading receiver. And you go back and you look through the years when Auburn was successful in the SEC and winning, you look at the leading receiver. If you don't have a wide receiver with over 50 receptions, then you're struggling. And you go back and go all the way back to the 80s, and you'll see that. You have to have at least one receiver that's having 50, 60, 70 catches in a season. If you don't, you go look at the teams that we've had.
Well,
you need some go-to guys. Yeah, you're right.
In this era, too, I mean, just the – I mean, you can – If you're overwhelming on the ground, maybe you can be a little more one-dimensional than other teams, but it just feels harder than ever to forego one of the, you know, especially passing and try to win with, you know, running and defense.
Right. Well, when your running back is your leading receiver, it tells you that you're not completing passes downfield past 10 yards very much.
Right. And that was the truth.
Right, and I went to probably 7 or 8 of the practices in the spring. Right now, I would say that's our biggest concern. I know line was before the transfer portal, but we need to see some proof in early August of somebody stepping up and being a, you know, we got to have two receivers we can go to. I'm concerned about that right now.
Yeah, I mean, Javarius has shown that he is he's a guy you can count on, but they need some of those other guys that you can get the ball to in a crowd. We've heard, you know, talk about Camden Brown. I mentioned Shorter and Hooks, and of course Mardner is 6'6". I mean, you hope that one or two of those guys can make plays. They can get open, or if they're not open, they can, you know, make the play in traffic. I mean, that's something Auburn's got to have. Peyton Thorne or whoever the Auburn quarterback's got
to
have.
It's fair to be concerned about it, though, Dak, because Hugh Freeze was concerned about it and talked about it multiple times when we had the chance to talk to him. Was that he thought his receivers were it was lacking at the moment compared to where they needed to be.
Right. I think
Caleb Burton's the other guy. I didn't mention him. I mean, there's a guy that, boy, you hope that he lives up to his billing.
Let me ask you guys this: the running back that's really small that transferred from South Florida,
right?
Does he catch the ball well? Did he have a lot of catches coming from South Florida?
He has a reputation of having very good hands.
Let me get his numbers up for you. Brian Battee.
He's a great kick returner.
And that team's really struggled over the last couple of seasons. South Florida's got one of the worst records in the Bull subdivision.
It's amazing to think about. Right. I could see him playing in a slot position if we don't have that slot guy, you know, that we need.
25 catches in 3 years, 14 of them for 91 yards last season compared to 175 rushing attempts. So South Florida used him more as an undersized fast running back than as a receiver too, but that doesn't mean that he did catch, and he's an accomplished returner too,
right?
Which would also suggest, you know, this.
Well,
is
I remember the coaches talking about Cadillac and Hugh Freeze talking about his hands and how well he caught the ball this spring.
Well, that's what I saw in the spring practices. I could see that guy really being that guy slot. Especially if we don't have no guy step up, small, quick guy that can get away from the backers. I think he can do that. But we need a big receiver that we can go downfield to and stretch the field. And right now I don't know if we have that, but you know I hope we get it quick.
Yeah, you know I didn't see one day in. Day out. Every day and every night.
We came back from the bottom of the hour break, right? And it was like, I think it's starting to rain. And now
it hasn't stopped.
Yeah, I mean, not only has it not stopped, but it is raining about as hard as it rains in Auburn over these last couple of minutes. And it is just be safe out there, folks.
Yeah, can't say it. We can't say it any more strongly. Be very careful if you have to be out in this. I mean, visibility is going to be diminished quite a bit, and that's if you have very good windshield wipers.
And that, as always, Bill. Shout out to the linemen right out there that are keeping the power on in place, because I know there's been some power issues. We were off the air, we had a connectivity issue here that disrupted our last.
Yeah, something
last
happened
break.
And for, popped off for a little bit.
Thanks
but,
for thanks for bearing with us, but no, for the linemen and the folks working, getting up there. I mean, right now, you want to be up in a power line working on something, or I imagine they wait till the storm has passed. But still,
I'll tell you what, my wife would not have been happy if I'd just done what the fella did. When you send your wife in the rain, you need to open the door when she comes back. She reached for the door and slipped for a second trying to get in. It's like, no, that's not good.
I hope we're not on in that car.
She'd be going, you're right.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's not why. Maybe it hadn't occurred to her until you pointed it out on the radio.
No, but I guarantee you, when she reached for the door handle and her head slipped, she was thinking, why isn't the door already open? You don't want to get the inside of your vehicle wet.
Do you think she was also wondering why did I make the run inside and not you?
Well, he was driving.
Okay. Well,
he was driving. So and he got her pretty close to the door. But
be safe out there, folks, because it is absolutely pouring in Auburn right now as we wrap up hour number one here on The Drive, live from Franklin Tire and Auto.
Yeah, we were talking about
there it is.
Yeah. And we will get back into it in hour number two. Hey, we'd love for you to join in. Obviously, we're not saying hop in your car and drive by. Not today. But, of course, the next time you need to get your car seen about, you need to bring it here to Franklin Tire. We're halfway done here on the Wednesday drive. Come on in and join us for hour number two.
Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7.
And online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. Hour number two of The Drive here on this wet, and I mean wet, Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Dan. Coming to you from Franklin Tire and Auto here on East University. I believe that's still East University, that river out there.
University River?
It's actually slacked up a little. I can see all the way across the street to Cece's Pizza there. But, we've had another one of those, gully washers. What do you call them?
That works.
Frog stranglers. I don't know, man. It came. And we have gotten a lot of rain here. Over the last week,
gutter testers, is that it?
Oh yeah, gutter flusher or whatever. I don't know. It's like, we can make up some terms, but be careful if you're out and about in this, because there're going to be some slick spots. There're going to be some places where you may not realize how much water you're about to get into.
You never know who you're going to see here at Franklin Tire
Auto,
and we
to see anybody in the area.
It was great to just bump into Jim Ryan, who was one of the big wigs in the Auburn English department, and someone who he had a big impact on me as a student, and somebody who's great to see still around, and proof that some of the smartest people I know come to Franklin.
Absolutely.
to get their cars serviced.
Well, of course they do.
Exactly. Further proof of that. So hello, Jim, a listener as well. Great to bump into him. But yeah, if you want to get your car serviced here at Franklin Tire and Auto, as Bill mentioned, East University, you should have the phone number in your phone. Have it. Saved in case of emergency.
It is ingrained in my memory. It's
Bill's
334.
Bill's called it a lot.
8214. Well, I haven't called it that much.
No, but over the last few decades.
But I've known it for decades.
Right, and you've had to.
And I'm better with numbers. This is a sad but true fact. I'm better with numbers than I am names. I'm more likely, if I've just met you and you happen to mention, like, your phone number, I'm more likely to remember your phone number if I haven't seen you quite a bit.
You'll know people on campus as their five-digit extension. Like, oh, yeah, you're 42504 or whatever. And so that's, that's how we can interact with folks. But it's the phone number for Franklin Tire and Auto
is 821-4572.
Right, and they've got the 24/7 wrecker service, which is one thing. But also, if you can bring your car yourself, do so and make sure that it's still in working order.
Yes, our number to get you through to us here on The Drive is 334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline, Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And we'd love for you to join in here in hour number two. You can call us or...
Oh, you can text the show, 334-564-1840, on The Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts. Use the podcast center at espnau.com. Or go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. If you're using a third-party platform, Apple, Spotify, Google, subscribe, rate, leave a review. It helps out, I'm told, with people who know these things more than I do.
All right, we were talking about a few things in the first hour, and
we that Huggins thing, briefly, like that. I really do wonder if that roster explodes and suddenly teams that think,
I think it's two pieces away. It's a very strong possibility that it does. I think it's less likely that you keep it together.
Auburn's probably done. One would think Auburn doesn't factor in for any of these guys unless there's like a major shakeup. Other schools that Auburn could see on the schedule, and I'd say, I threw Kentucky out there just because
I would think Arkansas is always going to be in the mix. Eric Musselman seems to be, checking on anyone who might possibly be available.
Jesse Edwards picking West Virginia after his career at Syracuse was one of the bigger gets in the portal. And if he opened it back up because Bob Huggins has resigned, that would be there'd be a feeding frenzy for him. And yeah, I think some prominent SEC schools.
Kentucky's got to be part of the list. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, with the fact, yeah, with the current state of their roster, absolutely.
And now Alabama's been waiting on a couple of guys, inside players. That's where they were looking for a little more help. Alabama is just loaded at guard. And looking for a couple of guys. One who from North Carolina who is considering reclassifying. I heard Doug earlier today on the Max Roundtable say that word was if he decided to reclassify and be in school this fall, it looked like Alabama. But if the young man decided to graduate with his class next year, he'd most likely stay home and go to North Carolina. So that's a 6'8 player that Alabama was looking for, and they're still waiting for the North Dakota State final word on what's going on with the North Dakota State transfer who was going to give them a 6'11 guy. So they right now have a hole there inside. So, everybody's got to be seeing maybe if someone who knows someone can find out if there's any concern or interest in those players at West Virginia now that Huggy Bear is not going to be back.
Yeah, and Kirk Carissa, I believe, also has I think he's got options if he wanted to. I think he was flirting with playing international ball instead of playing another year of college basketball after the season in Arizona. So he could be in a whole different sort of he could be making a totally different type of decision. Jesse Edwards, if he wants to reopen his recruitment, Alabama, Kentucky, and Arkansas are your most prominent. Mm-hmm. Had Auburn lost Jani Broome
to the NBA draft,
I think Auburn would be near the front of that list, assuming he wanted to reopen his recruitment. That's the college basketball story I'm watching for. First of all, can West Virginia poach a current sitting D1 coach to leave their current job and come to West Virginia?
I think they could.
Now, I think they could too. It's just would they want to make that kind of decision right now, or would they want to take more time you know, with their decision. I mean, I think
it all depends on if it's someone who would have been at the top of their list, who was right there. If the AD had at the top of his list, you know, because every AD's got to have a list ready in case the coach retires, something terrible happens, or he leaves for another. So you better have a list. And if someone there at or near the top of the West Virginia's AD's list is interested, you go ahead and pull the trigger now.
I mean, one would think, and you don't want to think about these things, but if you're an AD, you probably do need to be ready for, okay, what happens if the coach gets bad news from his doctor?
Right.
And he's got to step down today. What's next for your program? Or what happens if, yeah, I mean, you can imagine the scenario, but if for whatever reason fate intervenes and now the job is open, what do you want to do? Do you want to promote from within? Do you want to kick the can down the road and have a full – are you sure you can have
it? I mean, you probably got the you've got the leeway to be able to do that. I mean, your fan base probably isn't going to, you know, be as hard on you if you do wait a while.
There's one other name. I mean, I think that if they – I mean, among unemployed coaches, I think that Will Wade would be – does Will Wade have a job? Did Will Wade get it? Okay, so Will Wade would be, you know, somebody with a prominent record among guys that you could conceivably hire right now. How about this, Bill? John Beilein, former West Virginia head coach before leaving for Michigan, went
to – Wade, is it McNeese?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought he got a job
somewhere. Yeah, as soon as I said no, I went, did he take a job somewhere else in Louisiana?
He got the McNeese job. So Will Wade does have a job, but a job that one would think.
Yeah, you think if he had the opportunity, sure.
And then John Beilein, who left West Virginia to go to Michigan, left Michigan to go to the NBA. It didn't really work out in the NBA.
That's an interesting
his
one.
Tenure at West Virginia. Now, he's an older coach.
He is.
But
he'd be someone who might bridge.
Yeah, and Huggins wasn't young, right? So, I mean, it's not like West Virginia was – I mean, I don't know. I think it was the ESPN article listing possible candidates, and Andy Kennedy was at the front of their list, but they had Beilein as somebody who, you know, one would think if he wanted to go back to college coaching – you know, things have changed a lot in the 14, 15 years.
They've changed a lot in the last 14, 15 months.
Right. You know, since he was at West Virginia, but he had that record of success at West Virginia. It's not like he got fired there. He took them.
No.
I think they got to an Elite Eight. I don't know if they got them to a Final Four.
Sure, an Elite Eight.
The Pittsnoggle team that had the guys just bombing, you know, crazy threes. Beilein had a system working before he got the Michigan job, and that would be someone else that I'd be like, I mean, I understand with the connections and the success he had.
And then the NBA draft tomorrow.
Right, and a lot of SEC representation expected. Brandon Miller. Brandon Miller said something very odd today.
Is this about the greatest of all time?
Yeah.
GOAT?
So Brandon Miller might be drafted by the Charlotte Bobcats with the Charlotte Hornets. I got to get that one right. They're the Hornets again. Brandon Miller might be drafted by the Charlotte Hornets with the second overall pick in tomorrow night's NBA draft. Michael Jordan is an owner. I think he's selling his stake in the team, but Michael Jordan for a long time has had an ownership stake in the NBA franchise in Charlotte. So Brandon Miller was asked by a reporter about the Jordan versus LeBron debate and how it's still – I don't know if he actually gave an opinion on the Jordan versus LeBron thing, but he said that his personal greatest of all time, his personal GOAT, was Paul George, a fine basketball player, all-star.
I've never heard anyone really trying to proclaim him as the greatest of all time.
And you know what? And if that's the guy more than anyone else that Brandon Miller has shaped his game off of because of his size or whatever.
Well, that could be his idol the player he tried to emulate.
Greatest player of all time. You know, not a guy. Like, I feel like if you hadn't seen this story, Bill, and I gave you 100 guesses,
I would not have said Paul George.
You would not have guessed Paul George, who I think is, again, not to denigrate Paul George, it's an odd choice for the greatest of all time in that story that sort of made the rounds.
But Brandon Miller will it doesn't matter what he said.
No.
He's going to be making a lot of money very, very soon.
No, and could be the second overall pick, although I think some folks think that the Hornets are going to go with Scoot Henderson.
Still probably the top college player.
Could be the first college player taken because Victor Wembanyama's coming over from Europe, and Scoot Henderson played in the G League. Brandon Miller almost assuredly the first college player off the board tomorrow night and could shape the future of – I mean, the second and third picks shape the future of these teams, because if you're Charlotte, you've got LaMelo Ball, but you might be worried that LaMelo Ball isn't long-term a Charlotte Hornet and might have his eye on another market or another teammate potentially or something else in mind. You might need to start preparing now for life without LaMelo. Drafting Scoot Henderson would seemingly provide would provide them a chance to move on at guard and try to get something for LaMelo Ball if they wanted to trade him. Or Charlotte could take Brandon Miller and try to convince LaMelo Ball to stay by putting a great team around him. If Charlotte, and then whoever Charlotte doesn't take between Scoot Henderson and LaMelo Ball, goes third overall to Portland. Portland's grappling with their own decision. They've got a great player, really one of the better players in the league right now, who's played his entire career for one team, is Lillard in Portland. Will he finish his career there, or will he move on to a team that has a better chance of winning a championship right now? That depends, at least in part, on what Portland decides to do Thursday night. If they take Scoot Henderson, are they preparing for life without Damian Lillard, thinking that they can move on and trade him and get something in return? Is there a super team out there that feels like they're a Lillard away from being a championship contender? Like those sorts of things. I mean, this could be a busy NBA draft for the possibility of a star getting moved, and you know, you learn the strategy of a couple of these teams as far as what they're thinking short term and long term. By what decision they make. And some people say you don't worry about that and you just take the best player. And if you already have somebody who plays that position,
well, then you're ready to deal. If you just take the best player, then, you know, it's not just going to turn into a team.
You don't pass up a great player for a good player because you have a bigger position of need with the good player. I guess that's the philosophy of some folks at the top of the NBA draft. We'll see. That's the fun thing, anyway.
I like seeing some players.
And then beyond Brandon Miller, you could also have Noah Clowney and Charles Bediako drafted tomorrow.
I think Clowney is definitely going to be drafted.
Most folks have Bediako as one of the top 40, 45 players on the draft board as well. So I would expect Bediako. Clowney has moved his way up to where some folks view him as a first rounder now. So it seems like Noah Clowney could be not a lottery pick, but maybe just outside the top 15 in the top 20, top 25. Julian Phillips, we talked about a lot, the Tennessee freshman. Sounds like he is expected to be a first-round pick. Kobe Brown, the Alabama native, originally from
Huntsville,
who played his college basketball at UAB and then Missouri. He was in the portal slash the draft deadline until the last day, made his announcement couple of hours before midnight on the final day to drop out of the NBA draft that he was going to stay in the draft. Now there are folks who think that Kobe Brown could even be a first rounder in this draft. So that's a couple of guys that you might know from. And then I guess Oscar Tshiebwe would be the other one. Is a team going to take him?
Somebody
tomorrow,
take him late?
Or, I mean, I think there's
as a grinder, somebody come in and get you some boards.
Yeah, I mean, I know that the league isn't really...
He's not the athletic. He's not the athlete that some of those guys are.
Well, he's not the athlete, and he's not the shooter.
But he knows how to get the basketball.
Dirty work forward, man. Yeah. I just think there's room. I get the size concerns. I get the athleticism concerns. I get the skill concerns, that there are some things, you know, you really don't feel comfortable letting Oscar Tshiebwe do on the basketball court. But rebounding and three-point shooting feel like two things where if you're good enough,
if
you're great at it in college, I'm willing to overlook some of the red flags or some of the things that say
not playing you 20 minutes a game, but
how was Ben Wallace viewed coming out of college? You know, as far as a guy that people thought, you know, could he? I mean, we've talked about Paul Millsap, who led the NBA. Paul Millsap led Division I in rebounding for 3 years. And slipped late into the second round of the NBA draft, and then was a productive NBA forward for 15 years,
mm-hmm.
and grew into a better offensive player. But I don't know. Like I get why teams would say, you know, we got more pressing needs and or better players on the board. Later in the draft, I could absolutely see why a team would say, you know, we need someone like Oscar Tshiebwe to come in there and maybe get us some rebounds. I would say a team that got destroyed on the boards last year should maybe look and say, well, Oscar,
yeah, no kid.
Oscar Tshiebwe might be able to step in and help with that right now.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Hey, the rain has it's almost stopped, if not completely. So, again, be careful if you're out and about. We've got about 40 minutes to go here on the Wednesday Drive. Stick with us.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 23 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Wednesday. Do I have the mic turned? There, that's better. That's better. When I took it off, the mic got turned around underneath the windscreen. So, yeah, welcome back in. Final 35 minutes or so here of the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan at Franklin Tire, where the rain has stopped for the moment. I'm not going to say that it's done because it hadn't been done for a while.
I don't get the sense that it's done. I get the sense that it's stopped, temporarily. And hopefully, like we were saying, be careful out there. It was, I mean, from 4:30 to 5, it was absolutely pouring just outside of Franklin Tire and Auto. And I imagine through the rest of the week, we're going to get some periods of that. And
we've probably got a flood watch right now with the rain that we had.
And the weekend is supposed to be pretty nice, I believe.
Friday and Saturday are supposed to be pretty nice. Sunday, I think the rain comes back. And I looked at, like, Sunday and Monday, I think, next week.
I'm part of an operation to move some furniture this weekend from one house. You're familiar.
You'll probably be able to get that done.
You're familiar with what's going on, yeah. We're gonna try to transport between a couple of. There's a house in Atlanta involved. There's a stop
that's
here.
That's where you need some windows of opportunity.
There's a stop in Auburn to deliver a sofa to.
Let's get to the Kia of Auburn Island. Hey, Robert.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Doing all right.
Well, I had to give another story about an animals. I kind of live out in the country a little bit. There's horses and cows and that kind of stuff. And one day I was cutting grass, and there was a tree that had the limb kind of not real low, but it was low enough. So I had to kind of bend over while the lawnmower went around the tree. And the tree limb moved. All right, I went around again and brushed the limb with my shoulder, and it moved again. I came back around for the third time. I said, you know, that's kind of strange. And I stopped before I got to the limb, and it started moving again. It was a snake coiled up around the limb.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know that it would have taken me two times around. I just remember, hey, growing up in a rural, in a small town that was mostly country, I mean, we were sort of used to going out back and seeing snakes all the time, and my grandfather probably got me more concerned about snakes than I ever should have been. He was one of those that would grab a rattler by its tail and snap it like a whip. I never wanted to do that, but I had too many experiences as a youngster with snakes.
I had a friend that lived on a dirt road, and he shot a rattlesnake that was 8.5 feet long, and it was huge, thick. So that, I'm kind of aware of snakes.
It's gonna be. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I'm kind of, you know, worried about it, but you know, I just hadn't thought about one being on a tree limb.
Yeah, I saw one in my backyard out on an azalea last year. I'm used to seeing them. It's crazy. I'm used to seeing them. I've got a pool. We live out near Chihuahua. So, I mean, they're water snakes. I mean, they're, you know, rat snakes, water snakes get in the pool a good bit. So right. I always check the skimmer before I get in the pool. But yeah, it's much more startling when you're walking along and there's one near your eye level on a limb.
I had a place when I was living near Town Creek Park, and we had a couple large trees in the backyard. You know the place I'm talking about. And my first weekend living there, I was in the backyard, just sort of observing the surroundings and enjoying the patio. And I hear a rustling, and I look over, and it seemed to be sunset or so. It appeared to be a squirrel and a large snake falling out of the tree, and the squirrel running away, and the snake sort of going in a different direction. But I think I'd gotten to see an encounter between a couple of rivals there now I wasn't involved. I was a bystander, but I got to see an encounter.
Right, I'd be a bystander.
Encounter in the tree.
Well, got one more story. There was a place. I don't know if you heard it. It's called Goldmine Road, and I used to, as a young fella, go jogging. And I was jogging around it, and I saw up on a hill what looked like a big black dog or a small cow or something like that laid on the side of the hill. And I kept going a little bit further, and I looked back at it, and it was a black panther. And people said, no, there's no such thing. Well, about 2 miles from my house, a black panther came and was laying down on the deck, and they took a picture of it. And so I had some proof then.
My jog would have turned into a sprint.
Let me tell you something. It was like a 5-mile run. That was a world record for me. And I haven't been back since. That's been a long time ago. I have not been back since. But it was there. Documented, too.
Oh, man. That is something. Hey,
okay,
good
well,
stuff.
Let me get off the phone. Maybe somebody else.
Oh, okay.
I've been away for 2 or 3 weeks. I hadn't had a chance to call back in, and I haven't even – this was the first time I got on the show today. I'm not got on the show, but to listen to the show, and I heard y'all talking about those things, so I said, well, I just got to call in.
Oh, yeah, man, we appreciate it.
Great stuff, Robert. Good to hear from you.
Well,
we can
thank the Wasp for creating that set.
Yeah, the Wasp was tired of hearing us talk about Bob Huggins, I guess you said.
Y'all have a good day now.
Hey, appreciate the call. I'll give you another one. You, Dan, you can ask. I believe it was Matt, but it may have been Scott. You can check with them on our front porch. We generally hang ferns, over the porch rail. It was a few years ago. Came out and my wife actually saw this and hollered, and there was a snake that had grabbed onto one of the fern fronds and was going up into the fern because there was a bird's nest in it. Now that's a strange feeling when you open a front door and there's a snake hanging out of your fern on the front porch.
Now I want to get back to Robert's call for a sec because the panther, because I haven't seen him in the South. But I'm told that it's
they're rare, but
cougars and panthers are out there, and I've had someone tell me that like wild pigs and cougars are pretty much anywhere that deer are in Alabama because they're after a lot of the same
mountain lions. I mean, they're just you don't see them as much.
I was gonna say I showed you the clip of the
bear at the beach.
The bear in Destin, yeah. I mean, and there are.
That's still. How did the bear get out there with nobody noticing?
I'll tell you.
That's what I wonder though. How did it get out in the water?
I'm thinking the bear departed from one of the wildlife natural areas that overlook the water rather than
and
the
came along
beach.
In
and
the
current,
water.
I think the current carried it to.
Because I was wondering how could a bear saunter out into the Gulf without somebody noticing.
There are some, but if you go between Destin and PC, right, like there are some woodsier areas that lead to water.
Sure.
I'm thinking maybe the bear went in there, current carries it having a swim, current carries
riptide,
it out. Yeah, riptide. Suddenly, and that, it looks like a young bear, too, which I think that the scary thing there was, you know, was he still sort of family dependent?
Yeah, where's mama?
Where's the rest of the, that's too bad. But maybe fell in, right? He's young enough.
He
didn't fall in, the riptide carries you away, but it didn't look thrilled to be suddenly on a beach full of
I saw that a couple of days ago.
Party goers in Destin.
Yeah, that's something you don't expect. I mean, you're always concerned about seeing fins. You don't worry usually about seeing the fur.
And it looks like a black lab in the in the water at first, mm-hmm. and it gets a little bit closer to the shore, and
yeah,
it's
bigger than a lab.
That ain't what it is.
All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Hang around with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
What's up?
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive, final segment here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here at Franklin Tire and Auto, and let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Terry is up next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, guys. Guys, I have to get in on this story. I had to get this. When I lived in Talladega, the place I lived, Northgate Place Apartment Homes, was a totally undeveloped piece of land when they built those homes. Mm-hmm. So when the homes were built, the critters knew that was their home. They didn't know to leave. Well, I went down to check my mail the first night I lived there, and I encountered a rattlesnake trying to get a hold of my cane. Now, you guys know my situation. For those of you who don't know, I'm blind. And he got a hold of my cane, and the apartment manager's husband just happened to be out there looking around, observing. He came over and killed it, but he claimed it was trying to get a hold of my cane because it wanted to get to me.
Terry, I mean, if that manager hadn't been there, I don't know how this story ends. You know what I mean?
Like, it doesn't end good.
Doesn't end with Terry on the phone with us, yeah. I don't think.
I mean, might be talking to that rattlesnake instead, Terry, because.
And then about 2 months later, my wife, who was living at the time, she had a guide dog, and she took her guide dog out to use the restroom, and it got bit under the chin by a timber rattler.
Oh, man.
Ooh, so,
man, that's nasty.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, and I think about that now. I mean, we see, you know, it's so common. I mean, we see deer all the time, and we've got what is it we decided we have over right next to the studio?
I believe a woodchuck. We believe decided, you know, it's
a groundhog, is living right next to us because there's so many places being built and being cleared, and yeah, the wildlife is looking for something. They're looking for some place.
By the way, did I tell you I saw, and I don't live near the radio station. I saw
another one.
I saw a groundhog hanging out in the backyard of my neighbor.
Jason Caldwell said he saw one in North Auburn.
Yeah, I mean they're moving. I believe
they're all coming back to Auburn too.
Well, I believe the explanation that one of our callers had was that they've been pushed south. Their habitat's been, you know, mm-hmm. they've lost more of their habitat. They used to be more to the north of us, but they've been pushed south by development. Great stuff, good, Terry. Appreciate the phone call. Always cool to hear from you.
Yeah, I mean,
speaking of Caldwell, did we mention where he is today?
He's on vacation.
Okay,
Jason should be back with us next Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. We usually have Jason Caldwell
right.
not able to join us, not able to join us today, but he'll be back soon. Always great to be able to talk to JC.
Yeah, and good for him to have the opportunity to get a little time off. I mean, with as busy as everything has been with the transfer portal. With as many additions. We talked about it a little earlier, and I was going to give you the numbers. I mean, Auburn, I believe, has 84 players on scholarship football-wise. 42 of those are players that have been brought in under Hugh Freeze.
So
that is half your roster has been added since Hugh Freeze was named
head coach. With a full class of incoming freshmen and, more than a dozen transfers.
Yeah, you're over 20 transfers.
Yeah, I mean you're at over 20, nearly two dozen transfers.
Yeah.
That would explain. I mean, the number is gradually going to go up, and soon, I mean, this roster could be almost entirely players that were brought in by Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, a lot sooner than you would think. Normally, you'd figure it would take 2 or 3 years. That's one of the things, and one of the reasons when you're looking around and trying to project. I mean, we've talked about it. It's hard to believe it's only been a week. Since the SEC schedule for 24 was announced. But, we get into that a little bit more. While we have time, let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Jerry. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I got a quick animal story. I've
worked
for Westport Pepperell for a long time and lived in the valley. And a manager down at Riverdale Mill looking over the Chattahoochee River, set up a camera loading dock. And he got a film of two alligators sunning themselves on the beach. And it was 10 or 12 feet long. I mean, they were big. And we used to water ski in that river right up to the back of the dam. And when I saw that video, I quit going up in that part of the lake.
Yeah, that would discourage me as well. I mean, you don't think about seeing gators, but yeah, they're out there. You just don't think about seeing them. You think, oh, they're down in Florida or near the swamps or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't think about them being this far north, but they are.
Man.
All right, see y'all, guys.
Appreciate it, Jerry. Hey, it's been fun last half hour. I mean, thanks to the Wasp sacrificing itself. For a couple of segments.
Sorry to the family of
I'm not.
The Wasp.
I mean, come on, no, I'm not. I mean, I guess I should
be. He was just out working. He was, you know, trying to.
Yeah, but
when you're
deathly allergic to him, it's hard for me to, you know.
Yeah, he might have come in peace.
If he'd stayed away from me, it would have been a whole lot better.
We'll never
for him.
Know. Might have come in peace. We'll never know.
Yeah, that's true.
And so we will. I think we're going to have Justin Ferguson over the phone for a few segments tomorrow. I believe he you know, came down with some crazy disease while he was over in Europe.
I don't think that's true.
Don't quote me on that, Justin. I think Justin's mostly fine. We're playing it safe, but
yeah. So we look forward to talking to him. Our thanks to David and the great folks here at Franklin Tire having us out again. The next time you need anything seen about with your vehicle, here's where you need to bring it, here to Franklin Tire. We're out of time on the Wednesday drive. Back with you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.